back to Minrathis. The city is pretty much precisely as you left it. Still beautiful, still enormous, still smelling thickly of incense. All the buildings still covered with climbing vines and flowers of different colors. For all its flaws, Minrathis sure is pretty. And you make it back to... Well, your first instinct, and correct me if I'm wrong, would probably be to go back to the Pavis Estate.
That's what I feel like. That's kind of our headquarters, home base, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are a couple servants waiting outside the gates to take your horses. And Zevran, like, doesn't even acknowledge him. He, like, pushes open the gates very, very loudly, and they bang against the brick wall. And he storms right up to the front doors.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, I'll just follow along after that. Yeah.
You head into the Pavis Estate, and you can hear Dorian's voice almost immediately through the main hallway and slightly off to the right where you know the dining room is. And you catch him in the middle of a sentence, and he says, "Lennon, you can't be serious. You can't come to Minrathis." And then a voice that sounds a little distorted somehow answers, "Do you have any better ideas, Dorian? I spoke to Cassandra. She confirmed it. You're in a blight."
I push Cassandra forward and we all just sort of like wave awkwardly.
He hasn't noticed you yet. He's got his back to the door.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Although I do like the image of you going like, "Anyway, Cassandra, go ahead."
Right. Pushes me out of the door. I'm like, "Okay." Opens the door. "It's true. I did see him."
Dorian turns around and he says, "What? Well, they're back already." Zivrin pushes right past you and he says, "Is that the Inquisitor?" Dorian's like, "Don't shout. I'm right here." He says, "Inquisitor, we need you in Minrathis." Dorian's like, "Don't encourage him."
I like mutter to myself, "That's what I said."
"Do you have any idea how dangerous it is for important elven political figures in Minrathis?"
I'm nodding vigorously in the background.
Dorian, by the way, is holding this pendant. It's like a locket. It's open at the moment, and in the set into the inside of this locket is this small scarlet crystal that is glowing every time he speaks to it. And Zevran grabs Dorian's wrist and like slams it against the table quite violently. And he says, "I don't think you understand the severity of the issue, Magister Pavis. I saw an archdemon with my own two eyes. It's less than 200 miles from the city of Minrathis, a city with over 1 million people in it. We need to get the Inquisitor here now. We need to inform the Archon. We need to inform the Divine. We need to start getting things rolling. We need to go straight to Weishaupt if we can." And Dorian's like, "Easy, easy, Zevran. I understand the severity of the issue. I just don't think..." And then the crystal glows again, and you can hear the Inquisitor's voice saying, "Dorian, it's all right. I'm going to be fine. I still have a fleet of my honor guard with me. There's nothing that's going to touch me. You need me there. You know the Magisterium isn't going to be very flexible with this. If the Lucerni come barreling into the middle of the Senate floor and start talking about there's a blight coming on, they're not going to believe you."
He has a point. It does sound insane.
And Dorian sort of breathes hard through his nose. Mayveris, who is sitting very, very quietly at the other end of the table, looks up at you and she says, how was your journey?"
"Well, we saw an archdemon and, you know..."
Apart from the archdemon.
That was really the highlight of the entire trip. There wasn't really much else going on. Oh, wait, we did pick up another party member and I, like...
Oh, yeah, we brought Fenris back.
Awkwardly waving in the back.
Okay. We found a man with a dog.
Cat barks. Dorian's like, we'll get to that in a minute. And Lennon says, "I know I'm not technically the Inquisitor anymore, but I still have a lot of political muscles that I can flex. I can get the ball rolling. How else are you going to be able to get into Weishaupt?" Dorian says, "We still have Leliana here, and I'm sure if we maybe finagle something with the Archon, he'll be lenient." And Lennon says, "Oh yes, Archon Radamus, known for being very amenable to finagling." And Dorian, like, he leans forward on his arm, and he's, like, massaging his forehead. Like, he looks like he just... he really doesn't want to give Lannan the excuse to come to Minrathis. He looks like he's on your side, Sabre. Like, he is acutely aware that if he invites an elven inquisitor into the middle of Minrathis, there's a high probability that he's going to get his ass assassinated. Dorian kind of takes a breath through his nose, and he says, All right, fine. I understand that the situation is more dire than we thought it was, and I can't argue that it would be good to have a little extra political muscle to flex in the face of a blight. And Maevaris very, very slowly takes a sip of her tea. And Dorian says, okay, yes, I'll have the room turned down for you. We await your arrival, Inquisitor. I'm not the Inquisitor anymore. Listen, I'll take the first ship across to Kirkwall, where I have in my estate. We still have that linked alluvium, right? And Dorian says, yes, I'll have it ready. Good. Altogether, the travel time should only be about 2 days. I'll see all of you soon. Try not to get killed by an archdemon before I get there.
No promises, I mutter.
Dorian closes the locket and he says, I really, really don't like this.
None of us do, Dorian.
Don't think anyone's particularly happy about the situation.
Lannan is the best friend I've ever had, and he's putting himself in a lot of danger to come here, and he takes a deep breath and he says, it's fine.
What are the next steps?
He says, well, you all kind of sit down around the table, and he says, well, I mean, he wasn't wrong. We needed to inform the Archon and the Magisterium. The Divine needs to know. I'm sure Leliana will be in our corner all the way. The Arishak is in town. We might as well inform him. We need to get to Weishaupt and get the Grey Wardens on board. We should probably inform all the regional leaders of Thedas, but especially King Alistair. Like, the names that he's listing off is kind of like, here's a bunch of people that we need to talk to. And then he, like, starts listing off a whole bunch of extraordinarily important political figures.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think I'm getting, like, more and, like, my eyes are just, like, enormous. And I'm just like, this is out of my pay grade.
And he says, I guess we'll just go in order of whoever is closest, which I guess the Archon is closest.
And Liliana.
Maevaris says, it'll be difficult to inform the Archon. He doesn't just take visitors. And Dorian says, I suppose we could convene an emergency meeting of the Senate. That might work. And Maevaris is like, oh yes, unfortunately, an emergency meeting of the Senate means we are not just informing the Archon, we're also informing the entire Magisterium. And we need witnesses who saw the archdemons, which means we're going to have to... And she, like, looks at the three of you, actually the five of you, who all saw the archdemon.
I think I'm just, like, staring. I'm like, maybe we could start with something smaller and just, you know, inform Liliana.
She says, yes, Liliana would want to know. And she could sit in as a character reference for the witnesses, perhaps.
She was the one who sent us out, after all.
Yeah, we only found this because she sent us out there in the first place.
Dorian says, okay, Maevaris, would you mind convening the meeting? And Maevaris nods. She says, of course I will, darling. And she can tell that Dorian's also very upset, and she, like, puts a hand delicately on his back. And then she strides out to get the ball rolling. And he says, the rest of you go get cleaned up from the road. We're going to have to be on the Senate floor probably within 24 hours. So if you have any nice clothes, wear those. Maevaris heads out to get that started, and Dorian stands up looking like 5 or 10 years older than he did last time. And then he finally looks across the room at Fenris and Kat. And he says, all right, well, I guess we should find out who this is.
Oh, sorry, this is Fenris?
And I assume you are Magister Dorian Pavis. And Dorian says, ah, yes, that's me. What are you doing here, if I may ask?
We met him on the road. He
hates slavers.
Yes.
Well, that is a good quality to have.
Yes. He and Cat were
Cat barks.
I pat Cat's head.
Why is the dog named Cat?
We don't know. It's
Svenra says Levon Hawk has a strange sense of humor. And Dorian he perks up and he says, Levon Hawk? You know Levon Hawk? And he says, I am intimately familiar with him, yes, and his dumb sense of humor. And Cat barks again. And he says, wait a minute, I think I read about you. Tale of the Champion, Varric's book. And Fenris rolls his eyes and he says, yes, and before you ask, the romance was completely overwritten. I thought it was very romantic, but okay.
There's a book about it,
apparently.
And he says, well, I would absolutely be delighted to have you on our side. From everything Varric has told me about you, you do enjoy recreational slaver killing, and we always need more of that in the Lucerne. And Venris holds up a hand. And he walks a little bit closer to Dorian and, like, stares him down. And Fenris is pretty tall for an elf, but Dorian is still he's got a couple inches on him. And Fenris says, I want to make this perfectly clear, Magister. I do not trust you or your kind. And immediately Dorian's like, I don't blame you, we're awful. And he says, the first sign I see of any foul play, you will make a very dangerous enemy. Dorian says, good, I hold you to it. Which kind of takes Fenris a little bit by surprise. And Dorian says, I don't want any corruption within the ranks either, Fenris. I formed the Lucerne, and then, like, from, like, outside 3 blocks away, Maivaris clears her throat. Maivaris formed the Lucerne with the explicit purpose of killing slavers, freeing slaves, and redeeming and restoring Tevinter. And Fenris kind of scoffs, and he says, that is our purpose, and if you see any sign of deviation, I want to be the first one to know. And Fenris says, I agree that killing slavers and freeing slaves is an honorable goal. Whether or not Tevinter can or even should be redeemed for its crimes is another matter entirely. But fine, for now, you have an ally in me. Let's set the scene. So this is going to be a two-person job, getting Cassandra into something that is magisterium appropriate, right?
Yep, there we go. Yep, I am very tall and there's horns.
Yeah, there are horns to consider. And also she's like 6'8", I think. We need to canonically establish how tall she is.
That's true.
It's we've vacillated between like 6.5 feet tall to like 15 feet, I think. So
like 6 to 7. Okay, come on. We never got that tall. Yeah, let's go with like 6'8", 6'9". That sounds good.
Okay. There's this big walk-in closet in the master suite. And Dorian has steered you into it and he's recruited Elian to help. And he keeps sending you into the closet. Cassandra's like, try the robe with the purple. And then he sends you back and like, no, that's not good. That doesn't look good. Try a different shade of purple. And it's been going on like this for almost an hour now. And I assume Cassandra does not understand the importance.
Right. Also, like, the difference between, like, shades of purple. I'm just like, what? Just goes back in and, like, grabs another one. Like this one?
No, the one next to it.
Okay.
Don't you think maybe the green?
Not with her complexion. I'm really thinking deep blue or purple.
I just, like, hover my hand, like, this way, this way, this way.
I said, no. Try the purple one. Go ahead. Close the door. We'll wait.
Okay. And then I like close the door. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
So I think while you're trying on the next one, Elian just kind of glances over at Dorian. I had a dream the other night.
Yep, people tend to. He like lies back on the chaise longue.
I think it was more than that. You remember the day that we met? How, somehow I cast magic?
Yes. The reason for which this whole mess precipitated.
Yeah. I met someone in my dream, and it was a mage, and they said that they're, I guess, trapped in me?
He sits up a little abruptly and he says, excuse me?
Okay, let me back up. I was having a terrible dream that things were attacking and this elf just banished it with a spell. Like, he was protecting me.
Dorian cants his head to one side. Okay.
He didn't know anything about the Fade. He didn't know what a tranquil was. He knew things about magic, but he didn't.
Dorian holds up one hand and he says, "Why does he need to know about Tranquil? Who exactly were you dreaming about?" And you can see his big brother instinct flaring up again.
No. It was nothing like that. I was dreaming about just a conversation I had the other night with Leander. It wasn't consequential to the attack.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of fidgets nervously. It's like, okay, Cassandra, come out anytime now. Seriously, that bit's not important. The elf said that his name was Compassion.
So he was a spirit.
I don't know. He seemed different.
He holds up one hand to stop your explanation. He says, "Powerful spirits are always named after a virtue that they embody. Just as demons embody our vices, spirits can embody our virtues. There could be a demon of sloth and a spirit of vivacity. There could be a demon of desire and a spirit of temperance. There are spirits of compassion that exist. It sounds like that's what you encountered. You're saying it was trapped inside of you?"
That was how he explained it. I don't know.
I take this opportunity to emerge, finally. Like, is this how it's supposed to go?
Elian goes over and fixes the ties, because you have them completely wrong.
Dorian says, "What are we thinking about the color? I just don't know. I feel like it either needs to be a darker shade of purple or a lighter shade of blue."
I don't know. I was thinking midnight blue.
I sort of, like, crane around and look at Elian like, "You saw an elf too?
You saw an elf?
Are we all just having dreams where we meet strange spirits and not telling Dorian?"
"Oh yes, mine was called Faith."
She, like, throws up his hands. How fucking many of you?
"Listen, Dorian, I'm telling you now! I couldn't have told you before because we're on the road."
He says, "You mage, you should have told me about this immediately. Why didn't you?"
"I was busy reading your books about Somniari, sorry."
He says, "Okay, so you were confronted by spirits in the Fade, one of Faith, one of Compassion. You didn't make any deals with it like some people we know," he says, glaring at the door in the general direction of Sabrina.
"No, it wanted me to, though."
"The same. I also refused her help."
He says, "Well, I am going to generally advise against making deals with anyone, even if they are spirits and not demons."
I sort of, like, look at Elian and, like, "But trapped inside you?"
That's how he explained it. I don't know any more than you do.
Faith was also confused about the Fade and mages, but she didn't say she was trapped.
He also said something about not knowing when he was. Is it possible he was, I don't know, an ancient spirit? Do they have age?
Dorian swears and he says, "I hate to say it, but you know who I wish I could ask?"
"Lannan?"
"Solas."
"Ooh."
"Solas was an expert in the Fade and in spirits. If anyone would know the answer, it would be him. Although Lannan did know quite a lot, learned quite a lot from him, so maybe he'll know once he comes to Minrathis for some goddamn reason."
"He seemed to stress it was important when he visited me."
"It's always important. That's the problem with Lannan. He does things because they're important without realizing that it can have very real consequences for him. It's the reason he threw himself at Corypheus like some damned idiot. If he gets himself hurt or killed while he's here, I'm never going to forgive myself."
You made yourself clear that you were afraid for him. He knows that.
"And he never listens. Because that's the kind of person he is. More brave than sensible."
And, like, I sort of nod like, "Yeah, we have one of that too."
You clean yourselves up. You get yourselves as dressed up as you can allow. I imagine, Cassandra, you had your clothes picked out for you, and the whole way to the Imperial Palace, Maveris is, like, adjusting it. Like, it's a very nice robe. Like, obviously, it was made for someone quite a lot shorter than you.
Yeah.
But they made up, it, like, the gown was supposed to have, like, a train for a normal sized person, but for you, it just, it's the correct length.
Right. It's just a dress. Yeah. Okay.
And Maetheris is like fussing with you the whole carriage ride back. And she says, well, you look very, very smart. And everyone except, I mean, the only person that I can't, like, they would have to bring as many people who saw the Archdemon as possible. So Fenris and Zevran are coming. I feel like Dorian and Maetheris have to be there because they're actual magisters. Like, they're the ones who are calling this emergency convening.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leander is still technically the personal slave of Dorian. So he's probably there. But I can't imagine, like, Talgon probably wouldn't be there. And yeah, he'd be the only one left behind, huh?
Somebody's gotta watch the house.
No, that's fine. Talgon hates politics. Like, he viscerally, viscerally hates politics.
I was like,
politics.
Are we seriously gonna throw, like, Fenris in the middle of Tevinter politics? Oh, no.
I mean, we need... he has impressed upon you that we need as many witnesses as possible to make it sink in with the Magisterium. And even then, it probably won't work, because it's the Magisterium. And Maetheris is, like, adjusting your robe the whole way back, and she says, you look very nice, my dear.
I just sort of, like, look at what she's adjusting, like, it was chosen. I don't really understand how it works.
She says, well, they did a good job. You look very smart.
I sort of, like, fidget. I'm like, thank you. So do you?
She says, oh, well, kind of you to notice. And she does indeed have a new, very fitted black gown with this great slash of blue through it. She looks very nice. Dorian is also looking quite smart. He's probably wearing like red and gold, red leather with like gold jewelry and fastenings. Leander is a slave, so he's dressed in his usual attire. Fenris would not get dressed up for the Magisterium with a gun to his head, so yeah, he is wearing exactly what he wore coming in because it's still clean. And fight me about it. Severin got cleaned up a little, but he's a little too nervous to get really cleaned up.
Yeah.
Is Elian wearing, like, a fancy-ass fucking outfit?
Oh, I'll bet.
He's probably toned it down forcibly after Dorian wouldn't let him wear what he wanted to.
No, you can't have the huge chapeau with the feather in it. What about you, Sabri? What are they wrangling you into?
I have refused to wear anything that's not.
You're in Team Fenris.
Yeah.
You're like, nope.
Resentful that you have to be here.
Dress up for a bunch of fucking magic using humans.
I think Elian managed to convince you to at least put on like a non-torn shirt.
Oh, aren't we fancy?
It's still dirty though.
Right. He had to roll around and like jump around in the tree or something. I don't know.
So as you roll closer to the Imperial Palace, there are a lot of other carriages that are also getting close because, you know, this is an emergency meeting. They convened it as soon as possible and it's not set to start for a couple hours, which means you've got a little while to talk to Divine Victoria and inform her first, because, you know, you were right, she should know first. She also has some skin in this game. And as soon as you get inside, the Magisterium proper is absolutely bustling, and indeed the fashion in Tevinter sure is
it sure is. Yeah, it sure is. Yep.
It's very, very ostentatious. Lots of peacock feathers, lots of wide A-line skirts, lots of extremely dramatic robes.
I feel like Elian pouts at Dorian for making him tone down.
Dorian refuses to apologize. And he guides all of you to the very back of the Imperial Palace, where Divine Victoria is staying. And there seems to be some hustle and bustle going on this end of the palace as well. Although it's mostly functionaries and servants crisscrossing the area down here. And Dorian is let into this small sitting room where Divine Victoria, Leliana, is being prepped by a couple of servants who, you know, putting some final hemming adjustments on her robe and, you know, putting her headdress on for her because it's huge. Dorian, of course, bows deeply upon seeing Leliana, and she's like, Dorian, you really don't have to do that. It's perfectly fine. And she waves you all inside, and she says, I take the news you found to be quite grave if you immediately convened an emergency council of the Magisterium.
I'm afraid so, my lady.
Is everyone all right?
For now, but there's another blight. We saw an archdemon.
She goes absolutely ashen. She says, You're sure? And Zevran in the back has folded his arms over his chest and says, Leliana, I saw it with my own eyes. It was an archdemon. And Leliana looks kind of like winded, like physically out of breath for a second. And she sort of waves the servants off and sits down slowly and she says, Maker.
Well, this is... Everyone's so concerned about this. I think it's, like, just sinking in for me anyways. This is, like, a really big fucking deal.
The giant, horrifying dragon, not dragon thing flying directly over your head didn't convince you. Awesome.
There's a lot of very dangerous things.
Yeah, so Divine Victoria has sat down and looks like she's trying to catch her breath, and she says, All I can hope at this point is that you managed to convince anyone of the seriousness of this situation. And she says, I'm actually about to talk with the Arishok now. Maybe he'll be able to.
I go stock still and, like, panic crosses my face and I look at Dorian like,
what? Dorian says, Leliana, let's be reasonable. I don't think the Arishok is going to be the one who's going to be reasonable about a blight. And Leliana says, You might be surprised, Dorian. The Arishok, as it turns out, I got a glimpse of him, and he's an old friend. And Zevran is staring back at her in confusion, and Leliana says, Zevran, it's Sten. Sten is the Arishok now. And Zevran says, Wait, our Sten? The Sten. Sten, our Sten. Leliana says, Yes, it's really him. She looks to you and he says, He fought alongside Ren Sabray during the Blight. He was... there when it happened. He helped destroy the archdemon. If anyone would take a blight seriously, it would be him.
I sort of, like, look at them in absolute confusion, like, you said Sten, and then Arishok, what, I don't understand.
You have to understand, Cassandra, for us, names are permanent. He introduced himself as Sten, and we still call him Sten, even though he is now Arishok. But he is our friend, or something resembling our friend. He fought with us during the blight. Surely if there was anyone who would take this threat seriously, it would be him.
And surely there would also be no one else who would take a mage, a Sarabas free, more seriously than him.
She says, You don't have to meet him, sweetheart, I promise. Maeveris beside you is like rubbing your shoulder. He says, We'll keep you out of sight. You don't have to confront him. You'll be perfectly safe.
Okay. And I'm like gripping, I'm like trying to like grip her hand like,
She says, All right, well, we know what we have to do. We have to convince. Oh, is she like even she's starting to flag at like how difficult this is going to be. We're going to have to convince every single magister of the danger and hopefully rally the Imperial army to the defense to track down the archdemon. We're going to need to go to Weishaupt as soon as possible and talk to the Grey Wardens. We're going to need to talk to King Alistair. I'm sure I could pull a few strings.
Yeah, Elian is just kind of wilting at, like, the thought of all of this. This is a lot.
I'm just sort of, I think, I'm staring around in confusion, and I say sort of, like out loud, confused, Why is this, will not be so hard. We saw it happening. We will just tell them, and they will believe us.
Dorian is the first one to burst out laughing. Like, ha, yes, they'll just be perfectly reasonable about it. The Magisterium is known for being exceptionally reasonable. That's why we still have so many slaves.
I do not understand. We saw it coming. Zevran here, he has seen it before. He is telling the truth.
He says, Listen, on a good day, wrangling the Magisterium is like trying to wrangle a sack of cats. They have a lot of reason to doubt me and Maeveris, and we're the ones who are convening the council. And they have absolutely no reason to want to help. It's like, well, if the Kyun is going to help us, which that... Oh boy, listen, I know you know this person, Leliana, but I find it difficult to believe that the entire Kyun will just go along with this plan of stopping the Blight. With the help of the Tevinter Imperium! He's getting a little hysterical. Yes, the Kyun will just set aside their arms and just help the Tevinter Imperium when we ask. I'm sure that'll go fine.
It will not go fine.
It's not helping.
I'm just saying, we're ancient enemies. It will not go fine. We hate each other. The Tevinters
I'm not arguing that it's extraordinarily, like, groundbreakingly unlikely, but that's not helping keep Dorian calm.
Yeah, Dorian is already, he's already decided that this is absolutely fucking nuts and that it's, like, this plan is fucking doomed. And yes, the Qunari will help the Tevinter Imperium fight the Blight, and so will the Grey Wardens, because they're not unnecessarily obstinate about everything they do. And of course, the Empress of Orlais will definitely help us as well. And, you know, I'm sure the King of Ferelden, who's thousands of miles away, is also going to be of great assistance to us. Mayvaris, like, forces Dorian to sit down. She's like, sit down and stop talking.
Doing nothing to encourage your witnesses here.
Who it just occurs to me don't have any proof. I think I'm looking horrified back and forth, and I'm like, well, I suppose we don't have anything but our words.
Exactly, Dorian says. And like, Mayvaris pours him a cup of wine and is like, just drink this and stop talking. Divine Victoria says, if you want, of course, I will vouch for your credibility. I know Zevran personally, so it should be fine. I'm sure they'll at least be a few magisters who will be reasonable about it, right? There should be at least some who will listen to reason. And Mayvaris is like, of course. Yeah. Sure.
Oh no. Hellion's getting more nervous by the minute.
Mayvaris says, well, we've got the Inquisitor coming north. That'll help, right? And Liliana says, yes, that will help. That should help. And like, she also does not look convinced.
Like, I think I turn back to everyone and I'm like, well, is there anything we could do that would help? Is there proof we could get, or?
She says, well, unless you have a scale of the Archdemon that you broke off and can show them, I don't think so. Mayvaris says, listen, the most important person in the room that you're going to need to convince would be the Archon. His name is Radahnus. He's been Archon for about 25 years now. And he is the most important person in that room. He is the leader of the Senate. He is the leader of the Imperial Army. You'll know him immediately. He'll be sitting on the big throne in the center of the room. You will be testifying to him. It is important that you don't lie, don't embellish the truth beyond what is true, but you have to impress upon him the gravity of the situation. Archon Radahnus is, she hesitates, he's secretive. And he's not unreasonable, but he's also very hardened by Tevinter politics, you understand.
Oh god.
So the magisterium is absolutely bustling. Almost every single magister of the Imperium is in attendance, and they are all taking their formal seats, which you can see Divine Victoria has that little balcony. She is considered a diplomatic guest. So she's not a part of the negotiations or anything, because she's not an Imperial citizen. She's not a magister, but she is like, it is of interest to her to observe the negotiations. And so she's got this little balcony that's overlooking it. And the formal chamber with that big, beautiful glass, stained glass ceiling is absolutely packed. And Dorian and Mayvaris are standing on the other side of some double doors, and they're getting you last minute preparations. And he says, so just answer any questions put to you. Don't embellish the truth. Don't lie, but also try to impart the gravity of the situation on them. Do you have any last minute questions?
I have a look of just sheer panic on my face.
Dorian says, good. So, anyone else?
I'm just sort of sitting there, like, shaking my head, like, nope, just want to get this over with.
Yeah, pretty much feel like we're damned if we do, damned if we don't at this point.
I'm regretting not wearing a fancier outfit.
Told you!
For the first time in my
freaking
life.
Told you!
That's what you're regretting now?
Maybe it makes you better at speaking.
Dorian says, okay, nice deep breaths. Remember, it's been several months since anyone's died in the Imperium floor.
That's an option.
Also, I will protect, I probably should have opened with that. I will protect you, I won't let anyone hurt you.
Okay. Do we get our weapons? Or?
Nope.
Oh, fuck.
There are no weapons on the Imperial Senate floor, which is sort of a bad punchline because all the magisters are mages,
right?
So what the fuck,
yeah.
Do they need weapons for that? Dorian and Mayvaris take their spots at the front of the group of you. Dorian looks sideways at Mayvaris and he says, well, old friend, shall we get this over with? And Maivaris straightens herself and rises to her full height of like 5'6". And she says, "We shall." And she threads her arm in his, and he pushes open the doors with a burst of magic, and the whole magisterium floor goes very, very quiet. At the very end of the room is a figure, robed in green and gold, with a very long beard and a staff carved in the shape of 3 snakes over his back. And you can tell with only a glance that that is definitely Archon Radames. And he is watching you very, very critically as you approach the center of the Senate floor. Maivaris projects her voice with a surprising amount of volume and authority as she says, "In the speech of the trade tongue, for our guests who do not speak Tivine, thank you for joining us. I am sorry to have disturbed you when the Senate is out of session, but we have recently discovered that we are in the midst of a blight." And the sound, the reaction of that word, it sweeps across the magisterium floor like thousands of serpents all hissing at each other at the same time. And Archon Radames notably stays very, very still, just watching the proceedings from his throne in silence. Dorian says, "At the behest of the Southern Divine," and he inclines his head toward Liliana, who is up in her little balcony, and she nods back, "we sent a few scouts of ours south along the Imperial Highway to follow up on rumors of darkspawn attacks. And what they found erases all doubt. You may not recognize some of these people, but this elf right here," and he says, putting his hand on Severin's back, and Severin, he looks like he's dead inside. Like, he's just standing there absolutely stone still. "This is Zevran Arunai, companion to the Warden, the hero of Ferelden who ended the Fifth Blight. He was among those who saw the Archdemon fly off out from a cave near the coast of the Notion Sea." And the whispering doesn't get any quieter. And the Archon loudly crashes the heel of his staff against the floor, and he says, "We will put these witnesses to questioning. Be seated." And Dorian nods to a small ring of chairs in the very center of the room for you all to sit down.
I feel like Elian takes his extremely, you know, he's slipped into the etiquette mode, and so he's just very, very stiff-backed, seated very tall, and just nervous as hell, but trying not to let on.
Dorian and Maivaris, who are not technically witnesses, remain standing. And Radames says, "The questioning may now begin. I believe I saw Magister Andoran," with a very pointed look, and there is a woman near the front balustrade that separates the floor from the seats. Lean forward. She has a huge blue peacock feather in her hair. And she says, "Yes, who exactly are these witnesses that we're supposed to take the word of?" And Dorian nods for you all to introduce yourselves.
I am Elian Bayard of Orlais.
So I awkwardly stand up and I say, "I am Sabray of the Dalish," and sit back down again.
I stand and say, "Cassandra," and then immediately sit down again.
Fenris rises and snarls at the Magister, just Fenris, and then he sits back down. Zevran says, "And you have already been introduced to me, I believe, Zevran Arunai," and he sits back down. And the Magister grips the edge of the railing a little bit tightly and says, "So, if I am not mistaken, we're to take the word of 3 elven savages, a Kunari mage, and... who even is this Orlesian? None of them are Imperial citizens, and we all know the ties that Magisters Pavis and Tylani have to certain terrorist organizations," and that draws a bunch of different shouts and hisses and whispers from all corners of the room. And Radames loudly slams his staff down, and order is restored in the Senate. And he says, "That, Magister, was not a question."
Oh, good.
And the Magister inclines her head delicately to the Archon and says, "Forgive me, Archon." And she says, "I'll phrase it then in the form of a question. Why should we take anything you or your witnesses say seriously, Magister Pavis?" And Magister Pavis folds his fingers in front of his chest and takes a deep breath, and he says, "Let's assume for a moment that I'm lying, that I summoned an emergency meeting of the Magisterium right now with the intent of duping you all into thinking that there's a blight. Why?" And the floor of the Senate is quite quiet at that. He says, "Why would I choose a lie like this? Something that is so tremendous in scope that it could destroy the whole world? What, to make a whole bunch of magisters who already hate me slightly less?" Another magister on the other side of the room stands up and he says, "What exactly did you see? And how do you know it wasn't just a high dragon? There have been nests of high dragon by the coast of the Notion Sea in the past."
"High dragons are not usually accompanied by darkspawn."
That gets a couple more whispers. Zevran, he takes a hip flask off.
Yep, God.
He sucks some liquor into the floor of the Senate, and he takes a big old swing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "You really want to question my memory? Me? I was there when the hero of Ferelden brought down the archdemon that ended the Fifth Blight. You want to question my memory, Magister? How many archdemons have you seen?" And Dorian gives him a very severe look. Like, that's enough, Severin. another magister, further back this time, stands up. He says, "A question for the witnesses. Are any of you affiliated with the Lucerne?"
I have this look of, panic.
Dorian, also, he obviously was, expecting something like this question. It's like, "Archon, I must protest. How is this relevant?" And the Magister bites back in. "The Lucerne are a terrorist organization bent on the destruction of Tevinter. Surely, whether or not they're affiliated with them is relevant to their character, sir." And she looks very earnestly at Archon Radonis, who is staring, he has a very interesting contemplative look on his face. And abruptly from the little balcony up above, Divine Victoria stands up and says, "If you doubt their character, then you can take it upon my word. I'm the one who sent them down there. I have no reason to mistrust them. In fact, I've known some of them for years now." And she sort of smiles down at Zevran, and Zevran does not smile back.
Not a good time.
And the Magister says, "So you're not going to answer the question whether or not you have any affiliation with the Lucerne?"
Elian just kind of darts his eyes over at Dorian and at Maivaris, kind of like, "What do we do?"
Yeah, Dorian and Maivaris are kind of looking at each other how they want to answer this question. Like, they're being more insistent than they assumed that they would be. Like, they have the Southern Divine here, and it's like, is that not a fucking good enough character witness? Literally fantasy poke,
right?
Isn't good enough for you motherfuckers?
I'm not gonna lie. If I lie, it's gonna be obvious. I'm just gonna keep my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm. Good plan.
When the silence stretches longer, the Magister says, "Their silence speaks volumes, don't you think, Archon Radonis? After all, it is well known that Magister Pavis comes from," and she sort of wrinkles her nose, "undesirable stock. He had the same leniences as his father had," and that gets a little more whispering involved.
Ooh.
"And as for Magister Tylani, we all know his true origin." And Magister Tylani keeps her hands folded very demurely at her stomach. And Archon Radonis again slams his staff against the table, and he says, "A character witness is only necessary if we have reason to suspect that there is a lie being told. And I would like everyone to consider the question that Magister Pavis asked, because it was a good one. What reason would he have to lie? Why about this?" And the Magister, who had initially raised the protest, says, "Because he's trying to destroy Tevinter, destroy everything that we stand for in this society." And Dorian immediately says, "Slavery?" And that gets a lot of anger out of the crowd.
I feel like Elian just reaches over and just kind of tries to hold onto his sleeve.
He says, "If you accuse me of trying to destroy slavery, not only do I not deny it, Magister, I happily assign myself the label. I am anti-slavery. I think it is a stain upon our legacy, one of many that we have yet to confront. So am I anti-slavery? Yes. Am I anti-Imperium? No. Do I have any reason to lie here on the Imperial Senate floor? Also, no." And it doesn't take long. Like, a couple more magisters stand up and start to shout questions at you, but then more magisters start shouting over those magisters, and it quickly gets absolutely out of hand. Mm. And everyone is demanding questions of you, and there are definitely a couple. Like, within a couple minutes, people are, like, throwing fire at each other, and it's absolute fucking chaos. Everyone roll perception for me.
Oh, goody.
Oh, boy.
Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
As this bedlam is unfolding around you, you are sort of like, you look frantically up, just like on instinct at the divine, and mm-hmm. Divine Victoria looks like, oh god, I knew this was gonna go badly, but I didn't realize how badly it was really gonna go. And you look from her to the other side where the other balcony is, and suddenly you see the Arishok.
Oh, shit.
About 7'5". No horns, dressed in resplendent black and silver armor. He's looking directly at you.
I sort of just go completely still. Like, all the stuff that I ran away from is now all coming rushing back all at once. Like, oh no.
He has both arms folded behind his back, and he's flanked on either side, of course, by two Barisad, his personal guard. And yeah, there's no mistaking it. He is staring directly the fuck at you.
Yeah, what other Qunari is there for him to look at?
And eventually, like, as soon as someone starts screaming about being set on fire, Radonis, like, he's been trying to get them to shut the fuck up for a while now, but it's clear that he's absolutely lost control. Like, a statement like this, which is so dramatic from people like them who have, you know, clear if not obvious ties to the Lucerne. He grits his teeth, he looks directly at Dorian and Maveris, and then he jerks his head backwards as if to say, meet me inside. And he turns on a heel and he storms back to the back of the Imperial Senate.
Cool, 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 cool.
Excellent.
Are we supposed to? We're not.
Oh, yeah, no, you're going. Dorian,
oh, Jesus.
Dorian looks at the five of you and he says, well, hope you guys are ready for this. Who's ready to meet the Archon?
I am not.
I'm still, like, standing in place, like, absolutely terrified to move.
Maveris looks back at you and she says, darling?
He saw me. The Arishok saw me.
She says, the Arishok? And she looks up and she actually takes a couple steps back. Like, she clearly hadn't expected him to be here. She grabs your wrist and steers you away, pulling you back. It's like, it's okay. It's all right, darling. Listen to me. As soon as you're in the hallway, she grabs both of your hands. She shuts the door behind you and she says, look at me, Cassandra. And she puts her hands on your face. Look at me. Are you listening?
I look directly at her like I'm shaking. And I'm like,
we will not let him take you. Do you understand? We will not let him take you. We have powerful allies. You're not going anywhere. Do you remember what I told you? She grips the wrist that still has her kerchief bound around it. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember.
Your people now. We're not giving you up without a fight.
Okay. And I, like, try to calm myself, like, all right.
Dorian says, was that the fucking Arishok? What's he doing here so early? Nithera says, I don't know, but it hardly matters now, does it? He's seen Cassandra. Dorian says, oh, well, great. Let's add that to our substantial list of problems then, shall we? Does anyone else want to ruin my day a little bit more? I'm sure we could think of something. We've got a blight happening. My best friend is going to put himself in danger by coming all the way to Tevinter.
I saw a six-eyed wolf in my dream.
Okay, great. Thanks. I was hoping.
Oh no, surprise. The timing.
That's perfect. That's fine. Great. Love it. The six-eyed wolf is, of course, in Dalish mythology, the dread wolf, and I'm sure that doesn't mean anything. I'm sure that's going to be fucking fine.
It was definitely Fenharel. It is not fine.
As you all are talking, there's a voice from behind you. Pavis? Tylani?
I think we all, like, spin around. Still in, like, a defensive position, even though I have no weapons.
Archon Radonis is standing about 20 feet away from you, and he says, inside, all of you, now.
Elian complies, politely.
Yes.
Dorian kind of grits his teeth and walks inside, all the others trailing, and it seems like the Archon has his own private sitting room in the Imperial Senate, and it is of course twice as decadent as the one for the Divine, because, you know, it's Tevinter. And as soon as everyone is inside, Radonis looks at the two bodyguards who are just like shadows next to him, and he says, "Out." And both of the bodyguards seem a little bit, they're taken aback for a minute, but then they both incline their heads and they leave the room. Which either means he is stupid enough to think he's completely safe here from you, or he is dangerous enough that he is completely safe here.
Oh, good. Love that.
Radonis sits down and he says, "You couldn't have thought of a better way to do this."
Do what?
Yeah, Dorian looks a little bit flabbergasted. He says, "How would you have preferred us to inform the Magisterium of a blight, Archon?" And he says, "Any way but this? Telling them directly? Now they have to obfuscate and dance around it, and they'll never get anything done." And Maivaris is like, "I'm sorry, Archon, are you saying you believe us?" He says, "Of course I believe you. Why would you lie? About a blight? That would be the stupidest thing you could possibly lie about."
"Well, that's good at least."
He says, "But I think I might be the only one in the entire Magisterium who does. And listen, the power of the Archon is somewhat overblown. It's true that I can make and strike down laws, but it all comes with a heavy political cost. I'm not going to be able to rally the Imperial Army without the consent of at least half of the Magisterium. You know that." And Dorian still seems a little bit blown away by the fact that you really believe us. Like, we don't have to convince you at all. And Radonna says, "It is infinitely easier to convince one man than it is to convince the Magisterium of anything." He says, "Yes, I believe you. I believe we're in a blight. And I will pull all of my ambassadorial wherewithal to talk to the Grey Wardens. And I'll try to get the ball rolling, speaking with the leaders of Antiva and Orlais and Ravain. We'll try to get something started. But I want to be clear about this. You bungled this a little bit. You shouldn't have gone directly to the Magisterium."
This is delightful.
Maivaris says, "Well, if it helps at all, the Inquisitor is coming north." He says, "Do you want to get him assassinated?"
"Not particularly."
Dorian's like, "That's what I said, but he wouldn't listen to me."
"Why does everyone keep saying that?"
"Because he's an elf, and this is Tevinter."
"And I'm a Canari, and this is Tevinter."
"Yes, but you are not the Inquisitor," he says. "You are not an extraordinarily powerful political figure who also happens to be an elf." Archon Radonis stands up, and he looks very meaningfully at Dorian and Maivaris, and he says, "I am only going to say this once, because this is the only time I can be absolutely sure that everyone who wants to hear is too busy arguing with someone else to overhear me." He says, "I believe in your cause. I think slavery is just as much of a stain on Tevinter's legacy as you do." He says, "I agree with your assessment that Tevinter needs to reckon with its sins, but it is going to take a lighter and more delicate hand than this." And Dorian looks absolutely fucking floored.
I mean, that's how I feel hearing that.
Yeah.
Like, he believes me? He agrees with me? He wants to end slavery too? The Archon? Seriously? And he says, "I want to help you however I can, which admittedly is, there aren't very many ways. The balance of power that I've struck is very delicate, and one misstep could send the whole thing crashing down." He says, "However," and he looks very, very deliberately at Dorian and Maivaris, "if at some point I were to step down as Archon, not having a son or heir, I would be able to appoint someone to take my place."
Oh, shit.
And they would have a whole basket of cats to deal with on their own, but they would have the benefit of doing it from a different position. And Dorian, this was not the direction he thought this was going. Like, he thought he was about to get ripped a new one by the Archon, and instead he's like, "Wait a minute, you're saying you want me or Maivaris to take over for you after you step down?" He says, "I'm old, and I'm fucking tired of politics. Yes, I want to hand the seat to someone else, someone worthier of the position than my father was." He says, "You have a couple months to figure it out. Hopefully I won't be assassinated before then. Figure it out. Get the Inquisitor here as long as he's going to be here before he gets assassinated too. Rally whatever troops you can. If this is indeed a blight, we're going to need every hand we can get. And next time, don't count on the Magisterium to do the right thing. Please." And exit Radonis, and you are left alone in his sitting room.
Blinking stupidly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the most confounding thing that's happened to me in a while.
Yeah, Dorian also looks a little bit shooketh. I'm sorry, did the Archon just promise to name one of us his successor?
Yes.
Is this the Fade? He's like looking around. Is that what's happened? Did I slip into the Fade without realizing it? Maedhris says, if one of us was named the Archon, make her. Dorian, imagine it. The change that we could wreak. Dorian says, yes, that was not lost on me. The Archon has the ability to end slavery. Permanently.
Oh. Okay, that is a big decision.
Yeah. No shit.
I can't believe he's on our side. Maedhris looks a little, actually kind of delirious. Like, the Archon actually believes in the Lucerne's cause? Why hasn't he helped us before? And Dorian says, well, I imagine because he's the Archon, and if he even gives the impression that he's on our side, people are going to try to kill him. More than usual, I mean. They're always trying to kill him, but more than usual.
What do we do from here?
So I talked about this briefly with y'all. I mentioned that in Inquisition there was like this whole big thing of your choices affect who becomes the divine. Mm-hmm. And you've got a thing like that too. You're going to have to start thinking about who you want to appoint as successor to Archon Radonis. And you have two very obvious candidates, and there's a third secret option that you can unlock. Because there's always a third secret option somewhere in Dragon Age.
Hey friends, Tessa here. If you're desperate to hear the next episode, chances are good that you can by joining our Discord server. We post links to all episodes in pre-release, and you can even chat with us and listen live as we record. Join us by going to bit.ly/CFCDiscord. For more information on the show, character biographies, and links to social media, head to our website, critfail.club or critfailclub.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Crit Fail Club does not advertise at all, so if you like what you hear, tell a friend who might also like it, make a post on social media about it, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Full episodes are available on our YouTube channel, bit.ly/CFCchannel, or wherever you get your podcasts.